So my project today that I'll be presenting is a collaborative effort with a very large research team where we have conducted numerous HPV-related studies in both females and males, both pre- and post-FDA licensure. And this particular presentation is titled Differences in HPV Knowledge and Vaccination Status Among U.S. College Minority Women. And I have no relationships to disclose. I forgot that slide. So a little bit of a background just to make sure that we're all on the same page. I'm sure most of you in the room are familiar that HPV is the most common sexually transmitted infection. There are over 100 different strains of HPV, and approximately 30 to 40 of those strains are the sexually transmitted types. Those 30 to 40 sexually transmitted types can be further classified into high-risk and low-risk strains. The low-risk strains are non-oncogenic, or they do not manifest into cancer, but could potentially lead to genital warts. The oncogenic strains are the potentially cancer-producing types, which could lead to anal cancer, cervical cancer, penile cancer, and we now know that some of these same strains contribute to oral cancer. There are two FDA-approved vaccines that are currently on the market. The first one is a quadrivalent vaccine, which protects against the four most common HPV strains, and that's manufactured by Merck, and it's called Gardasil. The second FDA-approved vaccine currently on the market is a bivalent vaccine, providing protection against the two most cancer-causing types of HPV, and that is manufactured by GlaxoSmithKline, and it's called Cervarix. Unfortunately, cervical cancer disproportionately affects minority women, and specifically, cervical cancer rates among Latinas are 2 times greater than the rates found among non-Hispanic white women. In addition, we know that Vietnamese women suffer cervical cancer rates nearly 5 times the rate seen in white women, and the cervical cancer mortality rate is 50% higher among Hispanic women compared to non-Hispanic women. Previous research has examined HPV knowledge and vaccine intentions and behaviors, but most of this research has been done among the general population of women aged 9 to 26. There is less research and less knowledge among vaccine intentions and behaviors among minority populations. Therefore, the purpose of this particular presentation is to examine levels of HPV knowledge among women participating in a cross-sectional study of minority college students. And in particularly, these women were categorized into the following 3 groups. Those who were unvaccinated, those who initiated the vaccine series but did not complete all 3 doses, and those who completed and received all 3 doses of the series. This was a cross-sectional survey among self-reported minority women at a large public university in the Southeast. The recruitment method was done according to the Dillman procedures, where the women received multiple contacts and communications and were asked if they would be interested in recruiting. The survey was a web-based survey, and the items on the survey were adapted from previous HPV studies that we have been involved in, as well as contracts specific to the health belief model and the social cognitive theory. The survey was pilot tested among a representative sample before final administration, and the survey took approximately 20 minutes to complete. Approximately 40% of the population self-identified as Hispanic or Latina, 23% self-identified as Black or African American, and 10% identified as Asian. 14% did identify as other, so being self-identifying with more than one group, and 12% did self-identify as being white in the study. The mean age in our group was 23.3 years. This is a little higher than other college studies, and the reason being that both undergraduate and graduate students were eligible to participate. approximately 63% or two-thirds of the population had anywhere between 1 and 5 years of college. 13% reported actually having an undergraduate degree, and approximately 8% reported having a graduate degree. So these were probably the students in the listserv who were doctoral students. In addition, about three-quarters of the participants had some form of health insurance, and approximately two-thirds of participants had access to a regular health care provider. So we asked if they had ever heard of the HPV vaccine, and overwhelmingly 87% said yes. And this is kind of what we thought, because as you know, and this was conducted around 2007, there was a lot of marketing for college students, particularly by Merck. So the level of at least hearing of the vaccine, not necessarily knowing what the vaccine was for, how it worked, but most people have heard of the vaccine. We also asked if they received at least one dose, and 38% said yes, but the majority, or 57%, said no, and 5% were not sure, which is a little concerning because, again, they may be confusing this vaccine with other vaccines they may have received that are on the routine schedule. Among those who reported receiving at least one dose of the vaccine, 71% reported that they actually completed the three-dose series. 13% had completed only one dose, and 12% of the females reported completing two doses. And again, we have approximately 4% who weren't quite sure where they were in the schedule. Again, among those who received at least one dose of the vaccine, the majority, or 63%, received the vaccine in their doctor's office, followed by their gynecological office provider at 23%. Less reported settings of receiving the vaccine included the health department, student health services, the community health center, and another source. Again, among those who received at least one dose of the vaccine, 46% reported that insurance paid for all of the associated costs. 31% reported that insurance paid for at least part of the cost, and 24% reported that their parents paid for the cost. 16% received the vaccine for free, and 7% of participants reported personally supporting the cost themselves. So we looked at HPV knowledge by vaccine status. Again, those who were unvaccinated, those who initiated but did not complete the series, and those who completed the three-dose series. And we found significant differences among these groups across various knowledge items. So, for instance, for all these four items on the screen, those who completed the series had significantly higher knowledge levels. And these items included, there are many types of HPV, you can always tell when someone else has HPV, you can have HPV without knowing it, and some types of HPV can cause cancer. However, the top two items on your screen, it was interesting that both those who initiated and those who completed had similar levels of knowledge, and that these knowledge levels were still higher among those unvaccinated. So these items included only people who have sex with lots of other people get HPV, you can get transmit HPV through sexual contact, and surprisingly, and we're not quite sure what's going on, but the last item, those who initiated but did not complete had the highest level regarding the item HPV causes an abnormal pap test among women. We did not find any significant differences in levels of knowledge among these various knowledge items. For instance, you can get HPV from anal cancer, HPV is a bacterial infection, HPV causes HIV/AIDS, some types of HPV can cause penile cancer, and if you notice, a lot of these items have to deal with the association of HPV with other related diseases, as well as the notion of, is it a bacterial or a virus? So together, these data suggest that women in general who completed the vaccine series did have higher knowledge. And these items related particularly to the sexual transmission nature of the virus. These differences of knowledge are of concern because women of color may have lower rates of screening and treatment already. Therefore, these disparities in knowledge could be leading to poor outcomes related to cervical cancer. In addition, as the emerging science evolves and it becomes more established and known in the media, the association of HPV, not only with cervical cancer, but again with a range of other conditions and cancers, that these gaps in knowledge will become increased and further confusion may result. Therefore, minority women often remain underrepresented, and they are the least likely to benefit from education and technology advances. Future interventions should address the low knowledge among the unvaccinated group in particular in order to decrease vaccine disparities and the subsequent cancer rates that develop across the lifespan. I do want to know the larger research group, which includes Natalie Hernandez, who was also a speaker this morning, Dr. Ellen Daly, who is in the room today, Dr. Nancy Romero Daza, Lauren Young, who is also a speaker today, Stephanie Kolar, Chris Weldon, and Dr. Ruhan Chong. Thank you.